You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Or if you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Of course, our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest continues next hour. Right after the 11 o'clock news, we will have the keyword of the hour, and you want to go to your phone, bring up the Civic Media app. If you have not downloaded the app yet, you should.
Yes.
It's absolutely free. Download the app next hour. Make sure you have the app next hour, and then you can text the keyword that we will give you, giving you a chance to pick up either $100 in cash or some gold jewelry.
Ooh.
I know. And everyone in the running for a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. We play this contest every day and it ends on Friday, 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock. So the keyword of the hour for our Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest coming up for you after the 11 o'clock news. Very, very busy show for you today. Political consultant Joseph Heckey is going to be joining us at 10:33 to talk about Care Force One. This is a bus tour that's going on in support of the Biden-Harris administration's health care agenda. Mm-hmm. I think they have more than a concept of a plan.
Good.
Yeah, that's always good. And Joseph Heckey at 10:33. Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to pinch hit for Dr. Hanks for a public service announcement next hour. Dr. Lierley, of course, is a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. But we're going to be talking about some big news, especially related to women's health. So I encourage you to stick around for that. Wanted to kick off, though, with something a little closer to home.
How close?
In Wausau.
Oh.
Wausau's relatively new mayor, Doug Diney.
Denny,
thank you for correcting me. Mr. Denny removed the city clerk's office drop box on Sunday evening from its regular spot outside of City Hall and took it into the building.
Oh.
The move has drawn immediate questions from the city council president and also spurred a small protest Tuesday evening outside of City Hall. The mayor defends his actions. He said the box was unsecured on Sunday and he was just moving it to safety because he was afraid someone was going to grab it and throw it in the river. Which I could see that some goofball doing that. I actually could, but
yeah. So, Jane, I worked in city government for many years, and there is something. It's long held. It's maligned sometimes, but it's called a process.
Ah,
if the mayor was so desperately afraid of pranksters, tricksters, and or people trying to steal the election, he should have addressed it in front of the city council and said, hey, everybody, I'm the mayor, and here are my thoughts on this. Can we do something to secure this? Can we put some cameras up, maybe?
There are cameras there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not good enough. Can we just bring it inside? Maybe have someone in the grounds department do that for us? What do you guys think? Let's have a chat and talk about this.
But it was Sunday.
You're right. City Hall's closed. No one's around.
No one's around. You can't contact anyone on a Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, it just so happened that he was wearing a hard hat. It just so happened he was wearing a city jacket.
And had access to a little dolly.
And there was a camera there taking video of it. I mean, it's like he almost did this as a performative stunt.
Because there are pictures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that all happened to be there.
Obviously.
Happenstance.
Complete happenstance. The drop box was removed from its regular spot in April to have the locks repaired. It wasn't able to get done in time for the August partisan primary election. The city-owned drop box was returned at an unknown time to its regular location on the north side of City Hall in Wausau before Mayor Denny discovered it Sunday and took it into the building. Quote, I was in the office on Sunday doing a little work here, and I was walking out the front, and I realized the ballot drop box was not bolted down, so it was unsecured. So I went and got a dolly, and I wheeled it in. The Wisconsin Supreme Court's July decision returned the right for Wisconsin municipal clerks to utilize drop boxes to collect absentee ballots. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued guidance on that and said the municipal clerk has the authority to designate drop box locations.
Yes, and the city attorney said, don't do this.
But he's the mayor.
I mean, Troy,
and he didn't want it to get thrown in the river.
Troy from Mount Horeb said perfectly on the text line. He's listening to WAUK right now. He said the drop box was so insecure that we saw him moving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And there are cameras on that spot.
Cameras on the spot. It's as safe as safe. I mean, honestly, you want to bolt it to the ground? Fine. Bolt it to the ground.
And I'm sure most are bolted to the ground or concreted into the ground. Something. Yeah.
But this is not, folks, this isn't like a little, this isn't a little bit. This is a.
This Yeah, this isn't a shoebox size box.
This isn't even like a mailbox, what you're thinking. Like, if you go to like find a standalone UPS box, that's what it looks like. It's big. It's gigantic. It's got a, I'm looking at a lock on it right now. And like we said, it's got cameras on there. On the box, so you can see who's going towards it or doing any sort of shenanigans. So far, the only shenanigans we've picked up on the cameras is Mayor Denny moving it into the building.
In the story that I'm reading from the Wausau Daily Herald, and this is from reporter Eric Fans, I'm not seeing that there are issues now about the box. I assume it is back where it belongs. After he took it inside the building on Sunday and has since been secured.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
But it's got to be outside the building. It has to be outside the building.
That's so people can access
it. Yeah, exactly. It's about accessing your vote, not suppressing or intimidating or making it so that people can't vote. I mean, put him on the list. Mayor Denny, Glenn Grothman, Mike Johnson. The sheriff of Dodge County, they all have this gut instinct, this gut feeling, this intuition.
That people are stealing ballots.
Stealers. Apparently that people might just steal the ballot box entirely. And by the way, let's play this game for a second. He was afraid that they're going to throw it into a river. They could have just picked it up out of the river where the ballots would be, and they could have pulled the ballots out, dried them, counted them.
How many rivers does Wausau have?
I think... Well, I'll ask this question. How many rivers in Wausau have a ballot box sitting in it?
Maybe they're very deep rivers.
Exactly.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Oh, boy. Thanks, because that's what the devil needs is an advocate right now. But, yeah, I mean, this is we're laughing at it, but this is another attempt at voter suppression, period.
And voter shenanigans.
Yes.
Or yeah.
Attempting
voter suppression.
Yeah.
This goes back to, and we talked about it when it happened, the Dodge County Republican sheriff pressed three municipal clerks a couple of months ago not to use absentee ballot drop boxes, warning it could create the appearance of fraud and degrade trust in the system. Sheriff Dale Schmidt denied he was pressuring the clerks in Ashopin, Hustisford, and Beaver Dam when he expressed serious concerns after he found out they were going to use drop boxes for the election cycle. Schmidt said in a phone interview he was just seeking to ensure they're following best practices after the state Supreme Court in July allowed their usage. All three clerks have decided against using drop boxes after their exchanges with the sheriff.
That's intimidation. I'm sorry. And this is, to me, I'm so angry about this. I'm mad about Mayor Denny, this is disappointing. This is just disappointing and a shameful thing. You can talk about freedom, but you have a sheriff walking into your office telling you these things.
I think it's bad. It looks bad. It creates the perception of fraud. Not creates fraud, not is fraudulent.
Or here's all my proof showing there's fraud.
Yeah, there is none.
Exactly. So this is a sheriff using his power, position, and badge to go into these offices, intimidate these individuals, because who's going to stand up to that? Because then that becomes the story.
But maybe they agree with him.
Well, then there's shame on them just as much.
We do have a couple of clips just as reminders, because we know that Republicans know that voter fraud is going on. They just don't have any proof.
It's that proving part that's
details, what details.
That's
details.
What Einstein said. He said E equals MC squared. Also, proving is so tough.
Let's play that Mike Johnson clip, Calvin, Speaker of the House.
We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number.
No, that's because after more than, 60 court cases and here in Wisconsin, over $1 million searching for voter fraud that was never found.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't have any proof, but we know intuitively.
Who is that super liberal, granola crunchy Democrat Marxist who said that from Wisconsin, who said the elections were safe and fair? Oh, Robin Voss. That's right. Robin Voss said that.
Assembly Speaker Robin
Voss. Yes. The popcorn king himself said that even that our elections were safe and fair and fine. And that, you know, he didn't say these things, but it was a waste of money.
Well, thank goodness Glenn Grothman.
Who is he?
One of the House members, most rumply members.
So rumpled.
Glenn Grothman has a response, not directly to Robin Voss, but just to the whole thing of voter fraud. Calvin, let's hit that clip, please.
You know, in the 2020 election, all the recounts they did, all the going back over things, the only cheating they found was in Donald Trump's favor. They found several cases of cheating in Donald Trump's favor.
Hey, Mike, we'll get a response to what you said. Congressman Grothman.
Well, I have talked to people in Wisconsin who participated in our recount. They had felt that they found ballots that appeared to be all filled out by the same person, several ballots in a row. I talked to someone last month who claimed to be a landlord.
Don't know if he was.
And he said that he checked and tenants who no longer live there voted. I mean, obviously, these haven't gone through the criminal system.
Oh.
These people have chosen not to come forward and make their observations public.
No evidence.
But it doesn't surprise me.
Congressman,
it doesn't surprise him, though.
The way he said it, too.
There's no evidence that this happened. These people haven't come forward. But we know this happens because we know it intuitively, Greg.
Exactly.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I'm really excited about this. One of our sister stations in Baraboo, it's 99.7 Max FM. And you can find it on the Civic Media app. You can listen to it on the Civic Media app. They're one of our music stations. Tomorrow, from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., 99.7 Max FM is going to host their third annual Hope House Radio Requestathon. I love this so much.
Yeah, it's...
I do. I love this so much. So tomorrow, they're going to take requests and play songs no matter what it is. It can be a Christmas song. It can be some silly song. It can be A Boy Named Sue from Johnny Cash. It could be whatever. And they'll play it for $5. You can make a dedication for $10. You can replace someone else's song request by donating $25.
Just know every song I'd ask for would be like, nope. I'd be like,
and
but everybody
loves you.
Everyone loves Slayer.
And this is all to raise money for Hope House, which October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this is going to help out Hope House in the work that they do to help out victims of domestic violence. So not that I don't want you to listen to our show tomorrow, but I really think this is, I just think this is so cool.
How about this?
What?
Tomorrow, if you're listening to the Max.
99.7 FM, Max FM of Baraboo.
What's the name of the it's the Hope House.
It's the third annual Hope House Radio Request-a-thon.
There it is. If you do that, text us and give us an update. Tell us what you requested. Tell us what you donated. What you donated. And tell us, you know, like oh, someone wanted to play, like, you know, what's a really, the Macarena. No offense to the Macarena people. And I paid $25 to say, no Macarena here, folks. I want to get up to date. Then we can give, like you know, updates like this
real
just
time,
in from the
updates.
We're coming to you live from Waukesha with updates on money. And that'd be fun.
I just think it's so much fun. Again, yeah. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., the third annual Hope House Radio Request-a-thon on 99.7 Max FM. Help them raise money for Hope House. $5 donation gets you any song. They'll play any song from any genre. If you do $10, you can make a dedication. And if you hate the song and you don't want them to play it, you donate $25. That's hilarious.
I'm all for a good cause, especially for something like Hope House and
helping out victims of domestic violence. Absolutely. Yeah. So we wish them a lot of luck. And again, don't forget, another reason to get the fabulous and free Civic Media app.
Fabulous and free.
Fabulous and free. You can't ask for more than that. 99.7 Max FM tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. All right. We haven't done this in a while. Do we have the open ready for this,
Calvin? What's it time for? What's it time for,
Jane? It is time for...
More words from men. I don't know who did the voiceover of that,
Such a good job.
My,
right?
What a brustly...
Smooth.
Husky? No.
Ooh, little husky.
His voice sounds fat.
More words from men. J.D. Vance edition.
Oh, God. He's always talking.
He does talk and say things out loud. Most recently, because he's very much concerned about why we're not having more children.
Yeah, ladies.
I know. We're falling down on the job.
Except you. You can't. You get your cat.
I need to be watching other people's children. Right?
True. That's true.
I have no point in life.
You're right.
But we digress. J.D. Vance has an idea about why we are not having more children. Calvin, let's play that scintillating clip, please.
Some of the things that we're doing to parents is driving down the number of children that American families are having.
How?
In particular, there's evidence that the car seat rules that we've imposed, which, of course, I want kids to drive in car seats, have driven down the number of babies born in this country.
855-752-4842. If you're considering starting a family, adding to your family, are you not doing it because of the terrible, restrictive child car seats requirements? Is that it?
I knew that you require car seats, and I think that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
But I didn't feel like it was, what would they say, you know, draconian.
It's about safety.
Yeah.
And that's why I get upset, because I see people all the time with kids in cars who are not in car seats.
Yeah. I mean,
all the time.
We were talking about this before the show. I didn't grow up with car seat regulations. My car seat, my safety was just slamming into the back of my father's seat if he hit the brakes, and the cushiony metal frame would save my life. But I don't really know of anybody in my life. I know people who hate regulation and will be like, taxes, daft, and blah, blah, blah. But they've never said, we want to have a child, but we can't afford it because we can't want to do it because of car seats.
Is that the reason we're not having more children? Calvin, how do you feel about the burdensome car seat requirement?
Well, he said he had evidence. I guess I'd like to see that evidence. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds ridiculous.
Maybe he just knows it intuitively. That seems to be a thing.
It's another one of the situations where it's like, I've been talking to people.
Who tell me?
I've been hearing from people. Some people say, they're saying.
And they've told me that the reason they didn't want another kid is because apparently the child car seat they had before wasn't good now.
This brand new car seat regulation, it's never been around before. It's been around for a very long time.
It has been around a long time.
I mean, before we know it, another 5-10 years of this, it's just going to be like the three of us, Bob Uecker, and maybe Cher. because everyone's going to die out because the car seat regulations are just keeping people from having babies. It's such a, it's, this isn't freedom, people.
Keep talking, J.D. Vance.
Oh, please. More words from that.
We always need more words from you. News is coming up next. And when we return, political consultant Joseph Hecky will be here to talk healthcare and also election shenanigans, shall we say. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, right after the 11 o'clock news, our statewide text to win contest, go for the green or gold, returns. We will have a keyword for you in the 11 o'clock hour. You need to text it in via the Civic Media app, and then you're in the running for either, what shall it be, $100 cash or gold jewelry? Everyone in the running for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The word of the hour coming up right after the 11 o'clock news. Very excited to have our next guest here. It's been too long. Political consultant Joseph Hecky, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Well, there's been nothing to talk about.
I know.
What could we possibly have had a conversation about?
Absolutely
regarding the news?
Nothing going on. No. Not at all.
No.
I don't know if you heard right before we went to the news, we were discussing J.D. Vance's latest theory about why people aren't having children. And I know you have two kids. And
I have not heard this latest.
Oh, you haven't?
Nemesis,
oh, Calvin, do we still have that clip ready? Let's take a listen to this clip from J.D. Vance.
Some of the things that we're doing to parents is driving down the number of children that American families are having. In particular, there's evidence that the car seat rules that we've imposed, which, of course, I want kids to drive in car seats, have driven down the number of babies born in this country.
When you and your wife were considering having a family, Joe, did you say, you know, we'd have four, but the car seat issue is just, it's too expensive?
That was not part of the discussion.
No.
Now, we are very privileged and more fortunate than most that cost would not be prohibitive for us. And there are certainly families where the cost of raising children has become a barrier for some people who want to have kids or want to have more kids.
Definitely.
And that strikes me as where these conversations should begin. You know, the Republican Party for a very long time held itself out as what they called the pro-family party. I don't see anything in their plans or Project 2025 that suggests solutions for families. And so once again, J.D. Vance, my least favorite public figure, and that's a recent development. Like, I'm even angrier about J.D. Vance these days than I am about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to Donald Trump. J.D. Vance knows better. And week after week, he says something asinine that just gets my goat.
Grinds your gears.
Well, and
yeah.
He's so popular. I mean,
yes.
It's just like, JD, don't keep doing what you're doing, baby, because people just love you.
Yeah, he's standing in a pretty deep hole, and our job is to keep throwing him shovels. my favorite numbers out of the NBC News poll over the weekend was that the most popular things in American life were capitalism, Taylor Swift, and Tim Walz.
Wow.
And the least popular things in American life were Project 2025, socialism, and J.D. Vance.
That's an interesting group.
That's pretty wonderful, actually.
Yeah, and Project 2025 is the worst. Like, Project 2025 is sitting here going, hey, socialism, what's your secret?
Yeah.
How do I get more people to like me? Like, what? Come on.
What am I doing wrong yeah. here? And I just want to share this one text that we got from Matt from Germantown. We are planning to have kids soon, but now that you brought this up, we'll probably have to reconsider. So.
Yeah.
Yep. J.D. Vance's.
Maybe get a dog instead.
Yeah. J.D. Vance's message cutting through there.
Yeah. He knows better.
That's exactly what it is. It's just.
J.D. Vance knows better. And that's the part of it that is actually infuriating, right? Donald Trump, for all of his flaws and faults, it's actually like he didn't have a hand in the fact of who he was born to, right? He didn't get to choose his parents who had the financial capacity to give him somewhere between $100 million and $400 million. He did not grow up like almost every American grows up, like the people I grew up with, where mom and dad both work. And, you know, they're trying to save a little at the end of the month, and they're trying to put away a little bit for college. Like, Donald Trump does not have an ordinary lived experience. J.D. Vance does.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance wrote a whole dang book about growing up with people who are working poor or trying to work their way into the middle class. That is a much more ordinary tale in this country than the way that Donald Trump grew up. And that's why it's so infuriating that J.D. Vance has no problem doing a complete 180 on the threat that Donald Trump poses. He has no problem fabricating stories about immigrants. He has no problem selling his soul for his own personal ambition. That is very, very scary. And I just, you know, we haven't talked, and Lord knows there's plenty to go through, but I was just really struck by some reporting by the Wall Street Journal last week about the Haitians in
Springfield.
They found the woman who was the genesis of this,
yeah.
The woman whose cat went missing and called the police and accused her neighbors, who were recently moved here, legal immigrants from Haiti. And when she found the cat in her own basement,
whoops,
2 days later, she, with the help of her daughter and a Google Translate app on a mobile phone, went next door and apologized to her neighbors. And for that woman to show more grace and class in saying, like, I made a mistake and I'm sorry I wronged my neighbors by pointing a finger at them, that makes her more qualified, frankly, to hold a position of public trust than J.D. Vance, who continues to lie about it, who just outright says, if I have to make up a story to get the media to pay attention to something, that he's willing to do it. That's reprehensible.
And
it's unconscionable.
And it should be disqualifying.
Yeah.
It should.
Well,
40 days from now, we're going to disqualify him.
There you go. The question I have then for both of you, and everyone listening, is that, as you said, Joe, his story is so America, bootstraps, mm-hmm. coming from nothing, becoming a successful capitalist, everything the GOP would love from start to finish, has a family, all those things. And instead of using that story as what could be the poster boy for their party, which they've been touting for decades, they have turned him into this guy who essentially has turned his back on his people, on his community. And they're like, yeah, this is even better. Like, I don't understand. It speaks more about the GOP than J.D. Vance. And he is going to J.D. Vance, period. He's going to keep saying what he says. But the fact that the GOP couldn't see him as the gift, instead reformed him and turned him into this, it's just like, well, it's not your dad's GOP. Period.
Well, no, and it hasn't been.
Yeah, and I would say he's like almost the apotheosis of the complete takeover of the Republican Party by MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from like on down the line, there are like this, you get candidates like Mark Robinson in North Carolina or Herschel Walker in Georgia or Carrie Lake in Arizona, and you get metamorphoses like J.D. Vance's, when your party has been taken over and the rot goes all the way down. And that's now where we are. And the few holdout, like what I would say are like actual, real, true conservatives who are standing by their principles, they're the courageous ones. And we wish that that courage was in greater supply. But when you look at Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney, for crying out loud.
I know.
Dick Cheney and Bernie Sanders are supporting the same candidate for president this year, and it's not the Republican, right? It's Kamala Harris.
Oh, I found this snowball in hell. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Joseph Heckey, political consultant. He joins us occasionally when he's got time. You've been running around doing lots of things, Joe. It's interesting, just briefly, on the unpopularity of Project 2025. What I think is important for folks to remember is it doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump, that this is the Republican plan. This isn't just Trump's plan. This is the Republican plan for the country. So no matter which Republican administration gets elected next, they're going to implement Project 2025. I think it's important that folks realize that.
Yeah. And so in a lot of formats, it's very difficult to really explain this to folks. And your program is exactly the kind of one that is a place to do that. So if I could for just a moment, it kind of doesn't matter what Donald Trump says about Project 2025. It doesn't matter if he's read it or not. Him reading anything more than a couple of pages is kind of hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that the people who wrote it and the people who believe it are the vanishingly small number of Americans who will want to work in a second Trump administration and therefore will. All of the responsible, you know, voices in the Republican Party, all of the sane and sober business leaders in this country who might consider it their duty to step, you know, out of the corporate world and into government service for a while, they don't want anything to do with the chaos agent that is Donald Trump, with the legal quagmire that is a Trump presidency, and with all of the legal bills that go with that. And so these folks at the Heritage Foundation, the folks who have been found by the Heritage Foundation because they're building out a roster of political appointees,
yep,
every single one of them is on board for this. And part of what we struggle with when it comes to Donald Trump and how to talk about him is he wants to be portrayed as this strong man, as this tough guy. But he is as weak as the day is long. He is a small, small man who doesn't know what he's doing. And so he can get rolled. He got rolled by Putin. He got rolled by Kim Jong-un. And he can get rolled by the people from the Heritage Foundation when they come to him and say, hey, our folks over at FDA, they just want to make some minor policy and regulatory changes. You're good with that, right? Boy, you look good today, Mr. President. Man, that tie is great. Is that a new tie?
Yes.
And then he just goes, yeah, you got it. Whatever you want to do. And the next thing you know, mifepristone is not available anywhere in America. That is what people need to understand is the real threat here. It is that Project 2025 is the playbook. And whether or not Trump as president is calling the plays, those plays are going to be run.
Yeah. And I think it's important. We just had Dr. Mara Carlin on the show on Monday. She's with National Security Action. And we were talking about why it is dangerous to have someone who is so easily manipulated by flattery in a position in the Oval Office. That is so extraordinarily dangerous. All Putin, all Kim Jong-un, even Xi of China, all they have to do is tell Donald Trump how smart he is. And you're the best at this thing. Yep. I just admire you so much. And you got him. You got him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, we saw how easily Kamala Harris like lured him into a trap. The way I likened that debate was like, you know how in the cartoons, the Roadrunner like draws the fake tunnel on the side of the mountain and then the coyote just like slams into it. Like these were not particularly sophisticated like traps she was guiding him around to. They were obvious attention, like plays to get his attention elsewhere. And he fell for all of them. And so that's how easy it is to manipulate him. You can do it with flattery, or you can do it with just like waving a shiny object in front of his face, like crowd sizes. That's another, not leadership.
Another guest we had on, Andrew Watkins, who came from a Christian nationalist background and upbringing, also said that all they want is him up there as the puppet, as the guy to push the message, and they'll take care of everything else. And he's happy to be the show guy if he doesn't have to do any work. And it's all coming into play. They're all in the background. And this is not to, well, no, it's to freak you out, everybody. Read about this plan, and you will see what will come to play.
And we're going to keep talking about this, obviously. We got a couple of weeks left. We have National Security Leaders for America. Some of their members are going to be joining us over the next couple of weeks, too, to talk more about this. We've spent a fair amount of time talking about Project 2025, and I will keep saying this until my dying breath. Just imagine your least qualified cousin getting a high job in the FDA. That might be bad. We're going to continue our conversation with Joe Zopecki. So stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Joe Zopecki is here. He's a political consultant and friend of the show. Joe, this is our new mascot. This is a Jabba the Musk that was made by Jeff from Shorewood and his
friend Scott.
Why do I keep doing that? Scott from Shorewood and his friend made for us. So after several rounds of voting, Jabba the Musk was the name that that was selected for the Matt Nair on Air mascot. We also have a question for you, Joe, from a listener on the live stream. Jake says, can you ask Joe why the Dems who are running for the House, like Rebecca Cook, Peter Barca, and Kristen Lierley, aren't pointing out that they are the only candidates who promised to certify the 2024 elections in their races?
Yeah, I can't speak for their campaigns, and I don't speak for their campaigns. My belief, based on my experience, is that they have consolidated all of the voters who care about that with 40 days to go. So that means people who could be persuaded by that argument have been persuaded and are already like filling out their absentee ballots and mailing them back. And that what they are seeing is that the people who are still trying to decide if they're going to vote or if they're not, or who they're going to vote for, not just for Congress, but for the U.S. Senate and for president, may care more about other issues.
That's a good point.
It is certainly an eternal frustration to us that this is not, like, that's not the end of the conversation.
Right.
Right? Like, if you are not for free and fair elections, do we really care what your preferred, you know, taxation rate is, 29% versus 24%? To us, that's clear. But to voters who are making up their minds in these closing weeks, that's my belief, is that those campaigns are seeing something in the data that suggests they need to be talking more about women's reproductive freedoms or, you know, how they can build a stronger middle class, and so on and so forth. I share your frustration, Jake.
But that makes sense, Joe. Again, you like you said, 40 days left. You got to really focus down and narrow down your messaging to get to those who still have not made up their minds. In the few minutes that we have left, I do want to talk about Care Force One and just kind of contrast that with the former president's fantastic ideas on what he will do with Americans' health care should he get reelected. Calvin, let's play my favorite clip.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan?
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
In 2 weeks. Concepts. I know it's coming in two weeks.
You don't get it because I'm not president yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you yet. So let's contrast that with the Harris campaign and Care Force One. What is that about?
This man's been running for president or been president or been a former president for 9 years and the whole time has wanted to repeal and replace, so he would say, Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And he still hasn't come up with what he wants to replace it with.
No.
Again, talk about disqualifying. So yesterday, Care Force One, which is this big giant bus with national healthcare advocates on it, rolled through the great state of Wisconsin. It was day two of a 6-week journey. Care Force One will travel about 12,000 miles.
Wow.
That's, you know, four times back and forth across the country, hit 17 states. And really, it's about celebrating the progress that we've made under the Biden-Harris administration. You know, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as it's referred to, was the most significant health reform bill in decades. And the Inflation Reduction Act, passed 2 years ago last month, was the most significant health care reform legislation since the Affordable Care Act. And already Wisconsinites are benefiting from it. Seniors on Medicare can get free vaccines for things like shingles or DTaP right now, today. That's real savings for like a husband and wife who need the shingles vaccine, which is two rounds, $200 a pop. That's $800 that they no longer have to worry about.
That's huge.
And can use to maybe spoil the grandkids. Seniors on Medicare no longer can be charged more than $35 a month out of pocket for their insulin costs. That's a huge deal. And there's more savings on the way. As of January 1, 2025, seniors on Medicare, their out of pocket prescription drug costs will be capped at $2,000 annually. We are about to sort of see go into effect the results of that first round of negotiation between Medicare and the drug companies. For 30 years, the federal government was banned from using its bulk purchasing power to negotiate for lower drug costs. Think about that. It's insane. You and I can go to Costco or Sam's Club and use the concept of bulk purchasing power to pay a lower unit price, but the federal government was prohibited from doing that when it came to prescription drugs.
And whose idea
is now changing?
Whose idea was that? Who thought that that was
the drug companies?
Oh, yes, of course. That makes sense.
The drug companies who, by the way, in the second quarter of this year had $22 billion in profits over the course of 90 days this year. So they're doing just fine. And
no, Joe, so there's no money for R&D. There's just no money for R&D. That's
how could they possibly? They're all headed to the poorhouse.
Yeah.
So we had great speakers yesterday, ranging from Attorney General Call and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and people who are taking these drugs and benefiting from these savings. It was a great reminder that we don't have to just talk about how bad the other guys are. The Biden-Harris administration and Democrats in Congress have done some really good things.
Political consultant and friend of the show, always a delight to have you here. We'd love to have you back when you have time. Joseph Hecky, thank you for joining us. News is next. And then go for the green and gold statewide text to win contest. Stay here. Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.